Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Currier, very good morning. I could not have that conversation without you involved. I just couldn't.
I'm so glad you let me in.
Because, I mean, this is so something that I have no doubt you've given thought to. So yesterday, of course, Penny Sparrow dies. And the reaction on Twitter was very, very interesting. There were those celebrating and those were saying, no, 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 no. We don't celebrate either way. It was a fascinating response. What did you think?
Well, firstly, I thought there's a big spirit of Ubuntu in this country, and really, people can forgive so easily. The media hit parade contains 10 top stories, okay? So Penny Sparrow is the last top story on the list, and my write-in to media this morning was this line: finally, comma, convicted racist Penny Sparrow died this week. And I thought, ooh.
Hmm.
Was that finally she died?
Oh, that's so interesting the way you wrote
that. Oh, was that finally my
final
top
point.
10? Mm, mm. So, but one thing I wasn't questioning was convicted racist. And I'm sorry. Like, look, you know, we, from God we come and to God we return.
Absolutely.
That's all I can say to Penny Sparrow. But she was a racist and I don't think death exonerates that sort of thing. God needs to deal with her from here.
Well, my view was that, and I mentioned this earlier, I tweeted yesterday that to me she was a one-dimensional figure. She was a racist. That's all she was.
Mm.
And I'm sure there was more to her. I have no doubt that there was part people that loved her, people, you know, she must have done good in her life.
I'm sure.
Need to seek it out. She needed to sort that out while she was still alive. Now that she's dead, it's not a reason that I need to now go and understand who the whole Penny Sparrow was. To me,
repentant.
That's the issue.
Listen, I got it now, you know, I'm sorry. Like, I caused such havoc, you know. She was never repentant. I mean, she appealed it and she said she's not guilty, that she used it in a different context.
Yeah, because monkeys are cute or something. I mean, she was appalling.
It was outrageous. It was outrageous. And I agree with Sanati about Steve Hoffmeyer. Finally. Everybody's favorite racist.
Oh, yeah. It was earlier this week that we spoke about, that we spoke about Steve Hoffmeyer. I got the most terrible message and something. They're never listening to us again on the show because but so this person said all he's doing is defending Afrikaans culture. No, he's not. He's
nonsense.
Destroying Afrikaans culture.
Nonsense.
I think Afrikaans people are better
than
that, actually.
I have lots of Afrikaans friends, Howard, and every single one of them hates Steve Hoffmeyer.
Of course.
So that's rubbish. He does not speak for the Afrikaans generation, that's for sure.
I certainly would hope not, and I certainly assume not. What were the big stories? What was the number one story?
Wow! Like, the charts changed so fast, man. Like, and Sedwana, can you help me keep up a bit?
It's impossible. Even if you hear, you can't keep up. It's mad.
It's impossible. So the public protector, oh my word, could she grab any more headlines this week?
Yeah.
I mean, we started with the Concord judgment, and then there was this constant back and forth with her and Gordon, and then she had a spat with the president, and then, of course, she started with SARS as well, and the country started to get divided between hands-off public protector. What? And Makwabani must fall. This accounts for a third of our conversation this week. The EFF very much behind the public protector and the EFF's Twitterati standing behind her. And I think that's what made public protector so big. I mean, the woman lied under oath. End of conversation.
To be told that by the highest court in the land that the public protector lied under oath is astounding.
Well, it's game over. Surely it's game over.
Certainly should be.
You know? Well, she's stuck with a bill of 900 grand, apparently. Look, I'm not sure how you sit in, but 900 grand would have me living on the streets. So, I don't know what happens now. Also, there is this little part of me, the conspiracy theorist going, she was about to nail Ramaphosa and Basasa, And now all of a sudden she's got a million-rand bill. What will happen to her? And she's been caught lying under oath. Was that very clever politics? But I just whispered that, and we're moving on very quickly.
It is fascinating because there's so much here beneath the surface. There's no doubt. The fact that she's continuing to keep everybody's eye off the real corruption that has taken place in terms of state capture and just keeping this conversation in the forefront, I think she's achieving exactly that which her handlers wanted to achieve.
I think like Julius Malema definitely capitalized. I mean, Ramaphosa and the public protector is story number 9, but Julius Malema really capitalizing on how Ramaphosa would have to take a leave of absence during the time of the inquiry again with this Bisasa donation and to open party funding, which is a big hornet's nest, you know? So he capitalized there, and scare tactics more than anything. That would leave Didi in charge, wouldn't it? And that doesn't make me very happy, I must be honest.
Well, of course, Malema's not been consistent either, because if he says that about the president, surely he should say the same thing to the public protector. You've been called a liar under oath. You've been accused by a court. Surely you need to take a leave of absence to clear your name. He isn't really being consistent, but I'm not sure.
Well, he has a selective memory as well, because he also launched an attack, and it's story number 12345 on the charts, and that's his attack against Gordana and Hanekom. Hanekom, he said that Hanekom was involved with a plot to oust Zuma, but wasn't that what we were all trying to do?
Yeah, it wasn't quite a plot.
Including you, Julius?
Yeah.
Like, weren't you also on that train, Julius, if I remember correctly?
I love these plots and conspiracies, because that's what we... But, I mean, and the statement yesterday, and I don't know if that made your chance at all, that Hanekom owns the Cathrada Foundation. I mean, what an appalling...
What a terrible
statement to make.
Well, I mean, I've worked with the Cathrada Foundation for absolutely years, and let me tell you that Derek Hanekom was just a supporter, and he was on the board, and it's only since Cathrada's death that he's taken a very big step, and since he stepped down as Minister of Tourism, that since then, he's taken a very big step forward with the Cathrada Foundation.
Which is great. Yeah, absolutely, because that's the point of the organization, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's not a subversive, you know, that when you talk like that, it becomes almost as though this is the third force. And it's a terrible thing, because it discredits an organization that is actually about doing good.
Well, I mean, they have now an entire division dedicated to the state capture inquiry, and they're fighting it legally from different aspects, a little bit like ALTA. They'll bring cases to state capture that they think need to be heard. And you know, so it's the complete antithesis of corruption. It's the complete opposite.
Well, that's what they're fighting against.
Julius drove me nuts this week. I wanted to hit him.
Yeah, you just wanted to sit down and just stop it. Let the adults get on with things now.
And the other thing is, every time he does this, we slow down. Like, we need to be working here, guys. Can we stop getting sidetracked?
That's exactly my point about the public protector. It's constantly taking our eye off what's really important. And that's a huge, huge problem.
Exactly. So next on the charts, number 2 is the state capture inquiry. Right. My word, like, that was an interesting week. Reedy Klaibe saying she wants to cross-examine Zuma, which I thought was a bit ambitious.
Because that was going to ever happen.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, you'll be there tomorrow, Reedy. Anyway. And then, of course, the Estina Dairy Farm. Oh, my word. Yeah. The stories about Mzwane and Makhashule, and the attempts on people's lives, were the focus of the testimony. A very, very scary set of testimony, this week. And again, just shining the spotlight on the so-called ANC faction and how they operated. Like, it was just a looting spree.
And then, of course, there was that whole trip to India, wasn't there? They took the choir, the church choir, and then they had to come home early because they all got diarrhea. I mean, it's just not normal. It's just, we are living properly in the twilight zone here. There's just nothing normal anymore.
You cannot make this stuff up. There's another story that can't make this stuff up, and it's not here, and I'll get there in a minute. But the third largest story on the charts is the big freeze. Everybody is complaining about the cold.
And right.
So sorry to say, guys, but it is a beautiful day here this morning in Sibonabad.
Good for you.
Temperatures are forecast for 29 today, so I'm okay. Sorry for you. See.
Absolutely.
And then the Springboks. Did they win?
maybe.
Well, they got a very positive net sentiment. They're Brilliant. The highest positive net sentiment this week. And I've just written here, sport took center stage with the Springboks performance.
Okay, yeah, because you couldn't really be bothered to go into it in any greater detail than that.
I couldn't be bothered. Sorry, guys. Yeah. But they're definitely up there, and some people were happy. And then, of course, we spoke about already Hanekom and the Twitterati. Eskom's bailout. Oh, my word, 59. Was it billion?
Yes. Yes.
59
indeed.
Billion, and the impact on our ratings downgrade left the country very, very nervous. When do we hear the final downgrade status? Do you know?
No, I don't know. It's certainly going on the conversations, but I don't know when that is happening.
But so yeah, Eskom definitely making us very angry yet again. The public having to cough up, and then the last story in the charts, Howard. I know we're going to cut to sport and that.
Yeah.
But it's an international story that kept us laughing, and that's Boris Johnson.
We're taking a look at the world in numbers. How did social media react, and what was the reaction and sentiment on the big story? So of course, the international story that must have taken the world by a storm is the story of Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson, of course, becoming the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom this week. A major, major story, and a very, very interesting one to look at. How did the world react to Boris Johnson?
Well, I mean, firstly, there was an awful lot of comparison between Trump and Johnson. The fact that they look the same, they were the same orange tint, and the same
hair,
very, very
hair.
Bad.
Yeah.
Bad hair, bad, bad hair.
I mean, and they say the blondes don't have all the fun.
It's almost as if the lizards ran out of clones.
It's just remarkable. That, Tanya, look back 5 years, and had somebody said to you that the United States would be led by Donald Trump and the United Kingdom by Boris Johnson, you would have said, well, you know, I want to know what you're smoking.
Well, you know, the thing is, here's the funny thing, is everybody bails out of South Africa, but to who?
Yeah.
Like, most people went to the UK. What are you, well, you going to that, though?
Well, it's actually quite interesting because, you know, in a world of extremes, Donald Trump is a complete extreme. He's a reaction. He's the extreme. Boris Johnson is the extreme. If you look at South Africa, we're actually one of the few countries that have a very measured and balanced president.
President, absolutely. So it's not so bad, guys.
No.
Look, certainly Boris Johnson, a lot came out about his previously failed. Was he the Home Secretary?
Hmm.
I think he was the Home Secretary before, and he was ousted because he did such a bad job.
Yeah, but fascinating.
And then, of course, he's a Brexiteer, so that means the 3-year failed project is going to move forward again. And I don't know if you heard his opening speech. It was so flat. It was like, oh my God, that's such a damp squid. You know?
He's very eccentric.
I thought, well, how? Say again?
I say he's a very eccentric guy. He's very, very odd.
He's very, very bizarre.
Yeah.
And he's not very nice. He's not very nice. I mean, Theresa May, like, I know she had her time, but, you know, I feel sorry for her because she landed in it, you know, and I think she did her very best, and shame she was brought to tears. And, like, he was quite disparaging in his opening speech about her, which I didn't think was necessary, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, the Brits are in trouble. If you look at the British social media, they are so cross. So I don't know what happens from here. I'm just glad that I have President Cyril Ramaphosa.
Well, what's interesting as well is, of course, we know that the Brits absolutely detest Donald Trump. They detested him. They were terrible to him when he came to visit, and now they've got their very own. And they made exactly the giant blimps.
Do you remember? Oh,
sure. And now they've got their very own, which is just so fascinating, because it also tells you, again and again that just because certain groups are vocal on social media, it doesn't mean that it reflects the reality. And I think we've seen that in South Africa with the EFF, for example, dominating our social media platforms, but actually not necessarily reflecting the reality of all South Africans.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I have a few stories that didn't make the charts that absolutely should have.
Tell me.
The Limpopo killings. I don't know if you've been following that story.
I haven't.
Many ANC members killed in Limpopo, and a big investigation going on there. And then the Alex inquiry, which is so needed. The Alexandra Renewal Project was never done,
right,
you know.
Absolutely.
And that particular inquiry only garnered like 400 items. And to give you an idea, on the charts, you need at least 80,000 to hit the charts. So small. And I was sad about that. And then of course, Rupert and Malema. Now that was quite funny. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. It's just incredible.
What goes on? Really, what goes on? And then what made my week was the storm in, is it Bloberg Strand?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah.
Did you die? Were you finished?
Unbelievable. It was madness.
It was madness, but the woman's reaction over social media, like you can't say the words on air, like not one of the words.
Not anything.
Said.
You can't play that or talk about that.
Not a word. But I can say that she did say it was a fet op. And that trended for a very long time.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
And it did make me laugh in a very poor situation. And then Howard, the Star published a newspaper without a cover.
I didn't see
the
that.
The first blank star ever. And it was to prove the point that it doesn't matter about cigarette branding advertising being taken off the box, because you'd still buy the star.
Which is probably not clever, true. Eh? It's very clever, but it's not really true of the star. I stopped buying it years ago. But but absolutely right.
I have to agree. I have to agree. But I did like the statement.
Very clever. Just an SMS. It's an unsigned SMS. Hi, Howard. In the discussion of Boris Johnson and Donald Trump, are we inadvertently suggesting that some people have no right to public office? Is this prejudice on High FM? No, I don't think so, but I certainly think that they are very, very, no matter whether you like them or not. And certainly I see great value in some of the things that Donald Trump has done. And I'm sure that Boris Johnson certainly is a very bright guy. And if you listen to the show earlier this week, we had lots of discussion around it, but it doesn't mean that we can't see them for what they appear to be, which is very, very odd. They are odd.
And it's also how it, like what we're discussing here is public sentiment on public platforms.
Absolutely.
And so there's no bias here whatsoever. We're talking about the conversation's bias. So it's a very important distinction.
I can sit here and say
Ramaphosa is great, but in public sentiment, there's a lot of negative sentiment. So I can't do that. You know, that's what we're doing here. So just to that caller.
Yeah, I think that is important. We've only got a very short time left. Anything else that didn't make the charts that should have?
Well, there's one story that absolutely fascinates me. Did you see the Epstein story that broke last week?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so look, I've been following the story.
It's disappeared.
Sorry, say again?
It's disappeared.
The story?
The story has disappeared.
That's interesting. It means, look, the story's still there. In fact, yesterday we reported on the fact that he was found unconscious in his jail cell. Appears to have been an attempted suicide, but what I think you're right about is I don't think that it's getting the publicity that it should, and I think that it isn't because
the Weinstein publicity, R. Kelly publicity, you know, I find it very odd that, like, if you put it on an international chart, it doesn't even make it.
I think
there's media reporting, but it's so small. on what should be such an enormous story.
I absolutely agree with you. And I think that the reason for it is it's so uncomfortable that nobody knows where to go with it. This Epstein story is a shocker, is an absolute shocker. And I think when we start to see some of the level of details around sex trafficking, around the abuse of women, of pedophilia, I think we are going to be horrified. And the sense that I'm getting is that we almost too afraid to go there because of what this is going to unravel.
And I think there is definitely a media push to keep it quiet.
I think so too.
I think there definitely is, and that's not right.
It's only being the bare minimum is being reported, just for credibility's sake. Exactly. I agree, Tanya Kuri. It is a 7:46. This is unfortunately where we love and leave you. Have a fantastic weekend. I hope you get some good dives in down in Sedwana. Just enjoy your beautiful weather. It is 7:46. Let's take a quick look.